welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community, that's for sure. This program is sponsored in part by the Seafarers International Union and the Maritime Trades, and God bless all those people that are out there helping prepare Florida for this hurricane. God bless each and every one of them. 12,000 federal employees have been deployed to Texas, and their work's going to continue in Florida. So hats off to them for doing a great job. Joining me today for Media Matters, we've got Craig Harrington. Craig, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again.
Craig, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Rush Limbaugh is saying that there is no such thing as climate change, yet he had his house reinforced up to a hurricane, Category 4 hurricane, and collects money every time a storm comes through, and there's damage from the federal government.
Yeah, I mean, so Rush Limbaugh has spent a lot of time during each hurricane season in the past several years, and you can find examples of this from as recently as October 2006 on MediaMatters.org. He's spent the hurricane season the last several years claiming that hurricane warnings, warnings coming out of federal government agencies about the severity of these storms, he claims that this is part of a vast conspiracy to promote a climate change agenda, basically to promote the science of climate change through sensationalism of tropical storms and hurricanes that are bearing down on South Florida and the Gulf Coast and the Atlantic seaboard, which people who live in low-lying areas have gotten used to over the past, you know, hundreds of years that this country has existed. The shocking thing about this isn't just that Rush Limbaugh is claiming that the hurricanes are sort of ginned up and sensationalized to sell advertising dollars and to promote climate change. It's the fact that he actually lives in a hurricane-prone part of South Florida. His house has been damaged by hurricane-force winds and by tropical storms. He's gotten federal relief money to rebuild parts of his damaged property before. He's received money from the National Flood Insurance Program because he lives in a low-lying beachfront area. This is a guy who directly faces the brunt of these storms.
I got a question. Why are we paying multimillionaires to have their house put up in a place or maintain their house in a place where they know that the next storm that comes through, they're going to get damage and the taxpayers are going to foot the bill for it? It's like the rich in California living up in the mountains where there's forests or wildfires. Why are we paying for those?
Well, this is actually one of the debates about the National Flood Insurance Program in general that was sparked by Hurricane Harvey just 2 weeks ago. The hurricane inundated the city of Houston and surrounding areas, causing almost $200 billion, I should say, worth of damage, according to these initial estimates. And a lot of this flood damage is actually to homes that are repeatedly getting flooded and repeatedly getting bailed out by the National Flood Insurance Program. Now, if you're paying for flood insurance, you ought to be receiving your insurance payouts when you get floods, even if those floods happen every year. The question is whether or not the flood insurance program is properly priced. In 2012, President Obama tried to pass an initiative to actually increase the flood insurance premiums so that individuals would start bearing a little bit more of the individual cost of living in low-lying or flood-prone areas. Obviously, people who receive flood insurance didn't like that. Not everyone who gets bailed out by flood insurance programs is a millionaire living in a beachfront cottage. Lots of people live in backwoods, swampy areas in rural North Carolina, rural Georgia, South Carolina, areas in the Outer Banks regions of North and South Carolina, where they're not wealthy, they're not living large on the government dole, but they do have sort of ancestral claims to these areas. They've lived there for generations, sometimes hundreds of years, and they don't want to move. And in that case, you have low-income, middle-income people who are also regularly recipients of the National Flood Insurance Program because they live in flood-prone regions that are constantly getting whacked by these seasonal hurricanes and these storms that come off the Atlantic. So that's a whole other debate for another day. That unfortunately we didn't have a very productive conversation about the flood insurance program in the wake of Hurricane Harvey. What we did have is conservatives talking heads, business interests, pushing to privatize the program so that they could turn this $25 billion flood insurance program into yet another cash cow for private industry.
Gee, imagine that.
Yeah.
But so what about Mar-a-Lago? What about the President's Golf Course and Resort? If it gets whacked and it's in the path, we as taxpayers are once again going to be paying for not only Secret Service to rent golf carts and the Secret Service to rent a floor in the Trump Tower in New York City, but we're going to be, you know, paying for this too.
Yeah, and if you actually look at projections of where landfall may occur from Hurricane Irma as it bears down on the state of Florida, it's important first to remember that 3.7 million Americans already suffered through this storm in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, which aren't states, and so they're often easily forgotten, but those are American citizens, and they already suffered a Category 4, Category 5 landfall in some cases. And so that storm, which continues bearing down on the mainland United States, is expected to land somewhere in the greater Miami area. It could land in Everglades National Park, which would be a great thing. No one lives there, and the park is a natural storm barrier because it is the kind of natural defense that is supposed to soak up storm surge and soak up rainwater. It's the kind of natural barrier that was destroyed in the rapid urbanization in Houston that caused all the flooding just 2 weeks ago. So if the storm lands in Everglades National Park, that'll be a great thing for South Florida. If it lands further north in central Miami or further up in West Palm Beach, it could, of course, follow a path that lies directly over Mar-a-Lago, which is the president's private resort in South Florida. Mar-a-Lago has also been retrofitted to meet higher category storms, even though President Trump and then candidate Trump claimed over and over that climate change is a hoax, that it was created by the Chinese to undermine American businesses and our industries and our manufacturing sector. He has retrofitted Mar-a-Lago to account for certain amounts of sea level rise because he has a significant investment in making sure his beachfront property is still profitable. And if that, if the hurricane does happen to pass over Mar-a-Lago, and it has any substantial strength, which it's likely to do so as a Category 4 storm, it could cause significant damage to this private resort owned by the president, in which case taxpayers would absolutely be on the hook, not just for the flood insurance payouts, but also from a significant amount of private direct investment specifically for retrofitting the president's preferred residence to withstand future storms. We've never had a president who owned a seaside golf resort, but what we could expect if it was significantly damaged or partially destroyed is that the rebuilding would be a massive scale project undertaken by the Secret Service, the United States military, on behalf of the U.S. government to make sure that it meets the kind of standards that we need if we're going to have a president living there for a significant amount of time. Similar times, this has happened when the White House has been damaged. You saw massive investments in rebuilding the infrastructure of that building so that it could be state-of-the-art. It's entirely possible that Trump, if his property is damaged, would push for a similar state-of-the-art investment in his own private properties, which would also, of course, further enrich himself.
Yeah.
Not great.
No, not great. But we're talking about it, and people are coming to the realization that this is what's going on. I mean, oh, my God, could you imagine what would happen if one of his hotels got whacked pretty good? You know.
It's possible that if the storm really does damage Mar-a-Lago, that Donald Trump will actually have the same sort of comeuppance with regard to climate change that lots of people had in the United States after Hurricane Katrina. You know, Rush Limbaugh, in his September 5th tirade about climate change and about how the media are pushing the danger of hurricanes to promote their climate change agenda, he actually does say something that's true, and he says there's a desire to advance this climate change agenda, and hurricanes are a good way of doing this. Hurricanes actually are a good way of reminding people of the threat of climate change. In the wake of Hurricane Katrina, we saw interest in climate change, in ameliorating climate change, in actually affecting policy that would reverse climate change spike. In 2008, John McCain and Barack Obama were trying to outdo one another on the campaign trail the Republican and the Democratic nominee for president about who would be better suited to take on climate change. In 2012, Mitt Romney laughed at Barack Obama for wanting to deal with climate change. And of course, in 2016, Donald Trump said that it wasn't even real. So it's entirely possible that if he does get hit by this hurricane, he might come around because suddenly it will have a material interest in his own wealth and well-being. Of course, there's no telling whether or not that's true, but we'll find out because the hurricane's expected to make landfall sometime Sunday morning in South Florida.
There you go. Craig, we appreciate you being with us today. How do we find out more about you and what you do for Media Matters?
Well, of course, you can check out Media Matters for America online at mediamatters.org, where we are updating almost 24/7, correcting misinformation from conservative and mainstream media outlets alike. If you're interested in following how right-wing outlets are continuing to propagandize Hurricane Irma as it bears down on South Florida, I recommend checking out mediamatters.org for the rest of the day. And if you're interested in any of our researchers or research areas of interest, you can follow most of us on Twitter as well.
Absolutely. And I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.